Hello everyone and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. I have two wonderful panelists here with me today and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Lois.
And?
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And we are on our travel article, day one of our travel article entitled A New Start for Sarajevo. Now, where is Sarajevo exactly, Lois?
Okay, well, first we want to tell our readers that it is a city. It's not a country, okay? And Sarajevo is in Eastern Europe. And it's the capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
That's right. And you see the map right there on the top of page 22, and you see the surrounding country. So you get kind of an idea of where this country is and where this capital city, Sarajevo, is.
Right, Brandon. And I was also going to tell our readers it makes it a little easier for some of our readers because they've traveled to this part of the world. In Western Europe, the closest country to Bosnia and Herzegovina is Italy and the city of Naples. So that kind of puts it in perspective for people because a lot of our readers don't know a lot about Eastern Europe.
That's good. Yes, very good. That's Italy is just nearby. We see here in the deck that this is a long troubled capital. And so if something is long troubled, what does that mean, Amanda?
It's had trouble there for a long time.
Yes. Simple enough.
Yeah.
But it's beginning to heal from its painful history. So that's good news. As I said at the top, that this city is becoming a popular tourist destination. But several years ago, or many years ago, that would not have been the case because it was a lot of war going on there, actually.
Right. Brandon, you're right when you say several years ago and then 100 years ago as well, basically. So we have a torn up part of the world, its history, and we're going to learn more about that in our article. And a lot of people who are World War I buffs, especially in 2014, would have been studying a fair bit about this part of the world.
Yeah. Now, Lois, have you traveled to Europe before?
Yes, I have, both Western and Eastern Europe. The closest I've been to this part of the world would be Hungary, Budapest, and then my husband's seen a little more of this part of the world, but I was checking with him. He hasn't been to this city or this country.
Okay, and what does your husband do? Why does he travel so much?
Well, because he's, as our readers know, he's a pilot, so he gets into Eastern Europe quite a bit now. This is kind of new territory for him. And a lot of our readers are finding, too, that this is a part of the world they want to discover.
Yes, I would like to go to Europe. I have not yet traveled to Europe, but maybe one day. How about you, Amanda? Have you been to Europe?
I think like Lois, the closest I've been to is Hungary as well.
Okay, great. And what was that like?
Oh, great. Budapest is very beautiful and I would recommend it.
Yeah. Okay, lots to do there, I'm sure. Well, let's actually get into this article to find out what's going on in Sarajevo. Maybe there's some places you would like to see based upon what you read in this article. So let's go ahead and have our first reading on page 22. A New Start for Sarajevo. Bosnia and Herzegovina's long-troubled capital begins to heal from its painful history. If you dare to visit here, you'll eventually stand beneath the elegant geometry of Gazi Husrev Bey Mosque, built in 1530, or tiptoe atop the stone walls of the White Fortress, staring out at mountain slopes, red-tiled roofs, soaring minarets, and far too many cemeteries. But first, you'll probably go to the Latin Bridge. On June 28, 1914, it lay along the route of the Austro-Hungarian Empire's Archduke Franz Ferdinand, who was visiting with his wife, Sophie, the Duchess of Hohenberg. Sarajevo has been a cultural crossroads since the 16th century. Its mosques and synagogues, neighbored by Orthodox and Catholic churches, the Jerusalem of Europe, some said. But on that day in 1914, the region was ripe for trouble. Amanda, we start this article off with this clause, if you dare to visit here. And now, how does that make you feel?
Well, I think that makes me feel I need to be adventurous if I want to go there. Because we talked about in the deck that it was a long troubled capital. So a lot has happened throughout its history. Of course, war, or we're going to learn more of the different things that happened. But perhaps the author of this article felt, well, you too need to be a person that doesn't mind taking a little bit of risk to go to this place.
There's adventure involved, right? Because of the history, which we will talk about more later, you might need to have a little bit of an adventurous spirit.
That's right. You will. I'm also thinking just having an adventurous spirit to get there, because there's very few places in the world where you'll have a direct flight to get there. Or you might decide, okay, I took a flight to either Vienna or Budapest. Now I'm going to take the train and go down to Sarajevo. So that's also what you have to think about, too.
Okay, but once you're there, you'll probably see this famous mosque, right? And they describe it as elegant. And they use a phrase here, the geometry of. What is that talking about, Amanda?
Well, that's in our vocabulary focus. And when we talk about the geometry of something, we're talking about the way it fits together. I think throughout history, they're just different reigns and different kingdoms have their own architecture. And geometry, of course, is involved in architecture. And so the design is different throughout the different reigns or different kingdoms that have ruled. And here is no different.
Okay, and this mosque, it was built in 1530. And what's the name of it?
Okay, the name of this mosque is not easy, Brandon. It's Gazi Hazrev Bey.
Very good. Wow, very good with that pronunciation. Okay, you can tiptoe atop the stone walls of the White Fortress, staring out at mountain slopes. That sounds beautiful. Now, when we read these travel articles, they're usually very descriptive. And I think this is a good chance to talk about this, because a good opportunity, because sometimes in our writing, we want to be very descriptive, especially if we're trying to paint a picture in someone's mind. Now, we are not physically here, physically there in Sarajevo, so we need a picture painted. We have the pictures here, that's nice, but suppose there are no pictures. You want to paint a picture, right? And so that's what they're doing here. They're staring out at the mountain slopes. And what else do we have here, Amanda?
Well, they had red tiled roofs and soaring minarets and far too many cemeteries.
Okay, and the minaret is a tall, thin tower on or near a mosque from which Muslims are called to pray.
Right, and the mosque is also in our specialized terms, Brandon, a building for Islamic religions, and it's a religious activity building and a place for worship. Some people don't know that they also hold activities in there, not just a worship service.
Very good. And we see that there are many cemeteries. I don't know if you like cemeteries. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you think it's kind of creepy to go to a cemetery, but I'm sure some of them are very beautiful.
But it's true what they say, far too many. And we'll know a little bit about that further on in the article.
Right, and I think we have a photo of that, right?
Right, and the top of the left side of our deck is actually a picture of one of the cemeteries. And I think it just reflects the history of the city. So if you are curious about the history of the city, then cemeteries are a good place to start with that too.
Yeah, and you'll probably also go to the Latin Bridge, and you might actually start out with this bridge. That means it must be famous, right, Lois?
It sure is. This is an important date in history, actually. And last year, there was huge commemorative, I don't want to say celebrations, but recognition of this point in history. And so it says on June 28, 1914, it lay along the route of the Austro-Hungarian Empire's Archduke Franz Ferdinand, who is visiting with his wife Sophie. And so this is quite a famous bridge, because some people didn't want this couple anymore, and we're going to find out some more about that.
Yeah, and we see this word here, Austro-Hungarian, and that was a former dual monarchy of Central Europe, and it consisted of different nations. They were all together. And so we see the Archduke here, and an Archduke is a man of very high rank in Austria, from the royal family. And he was visiting with his wife,
Sophie, and she was the Duchess. And the Duchess, of course, is just the wife of the Archduke. So we get into a lot of history here, and now we see that later we'll see that something happened. We won't talk about that yet, but as we move on, we see that Sarajevo has been a cultural crossroad. Amanda, what do you think of when you hear the word crossroad?
A place that intersects with another place. So maybe a meeting place of many different things that come together.
Okay, and so if we have a cultural crossroad, that means there are different cultures coming together, right?
Right, different cultures coming together. Something's probably going to take place. We'll look back at it and study what we're doing right now, the history of that cultural crossroad area of the world.
All right, and this has been a cultural crossroad since the 16th century, and we see more about that. It's mosques and synagogues neighbored by Orthodox and Catholic churches. So there are lots of different religions represented here. We talked about mosques representing the Islamic faith. And then we have synagogues, which represent what, Amanda?
They are from the Jewish faith.
That's right. So if they want to worship, they will go to the synagogue if they are
right.
A Jew. And then we have the Orthodox Church, Lois.
Right, Brandon. And that's in our specialized terms as well. And it is a Christian religious group with many members in Greece and Eastern Europe, or any particular church belonging to this group. So often you'll see maybe in cities in the world a Greek Orthodox Church, a Ukrainian Orthodox Church, a Russian Orthodox Church. These are all part of the Eastern Orthodox churches. And just for our readers, a little bit of history. So we have three religions represented here, Judaism being the oldest, then Christianity, and then Islam.
Okay, and then we have the Catholic Church, of course, where if you're a Catholic, if you're involved in Catholicism, you're Catholic, and you will go to the Catholic Church. They call this the Jerusalem of Europe. Some people call Sarajevo the Jerusalem of Europe.
We can certainly see why, Brandon.
Yes.
Just totally. It actually, at first it was when I was reading it, before I even saw that sentence, I thought, wow, this just sounds like Jerusalem. And then I saw that reference in our reading.
There's so many different faiths represented there in one city. But on that day in 1914, the region was ripe for trouble. So we're building up here. We get some information, and then we have this kind of dramatic sentence, right? And if something is ripe for something, what does that mean, Amanda?
It means it's ready to burst. Yeah. When we think of a ripe piece of fruit, we think that it is ready to be eaten, usually. If we let it go too far, then maybe it will break or it will burst.
Right. And so they were ready for trouble, which is kind of a strange phrase. You don't think of being ready for trouble, but they're just trying to say that trouble was coming very
right,
soon.
Right. Because, you know, we are in the Austro-Hungarian rule, which was from 1878 to 1918. So we're going to have to find out what this is about.
Yes, and let's find out more in our next reading. The royal couple had already survived a botched bombing attempt that morning. And as their open car idled near the bridge, a 19-year-old Bosnian Serb named Gavrilo Princip stepped up with a pistol and shot them dead. His idea was to help neighboring Serbia gain territory. Instead, he started World War I. So we just learned about this royal couple, Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife, right? And so the royal couple had already survived a botched bombing attempt. And if something is botched, that just means it didn't go well, right?
It describes something, usually a job that is done poorly or badly. It just didn't happen.
But in this case, that's a good thing, right?
It's a very good thing.
The bombing was not successful. I think it did harm some other people that were with them, but it failed to kill anyone. And so it was botched, a botched attempt. And what happened next, Amanda?
Well, it said as their open car idled near the bridge, 19-year-old Bosnian Serb named Gavrilo Princip stepped up with a pistol and shot them dead.
Okay, now a Bosnian Serb, first of all, is a native of Bosnia of Serbian descent. And so this was a 19-year-old, and he shot them both, and they both died.
And stepped up with his pistol. That sounds to me very close range.
Yeah, it was like, point blank.
Yeah, you're right there. You're taking your gun out and you're shooting.
Mm-hmm. Now, it says here that their car idled near the bridge. So if something is idled in this situation, an engine is idling, it's running slowly, but the car isn't actually moving. So it was very easy, I guess, for him to just to go up and shoot them because they weren't moving.
I think we have to realize, you mentioned earlier that this was Austro-Hungarian Empire. And like you said, because he was Bosnian Serb, a lot of the different cultures were coming together here in Sarajevo, but they weren't happy with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there had been some unrest developing, like we said, ripe with trouble. And because of that botched attempt, of course, they were able to carry on the Archduke and his wife.
Yeah.
And as they were traveling, they actually took a wrong turn.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it available for the assassin to kill them point blank.
Yeah. And when he did this, what did he actually in turn start?
Well, it just opened the door for the World War I to begin.
Right, which is a huge war, of course.
Exactly. It's often referred to as the Great War, mm-hmm. and it was supposed to be the war to end all wars. We know that not to be true. But yes, and it was fighting over territory. Fighting over borders.
Mm-hmm. Which is often the case, right?
Exactly.
With wars. And so his idea was to help neighboring Serbia. If you look at the map there at the top of page 22, you see that Serbia borders Bosnia and Herzegovina. And so you see that they wanted more territory. This guy, that's what he wanted.
Well, I think just to keep in mind that the Austro-Hungarians, of course, were trying to enlarge their territory. At the time, Russia was trying to enlarge their territory. So they're all making these liaisons with all different countries, but it's also creating a lot of unrest. So this just triggered the deeper unrest to create World War I to happen.
Right.
And when you visit Europe, I've visited a fair number of countries now in Europe, you realize each culture is very different and each country is very different, but they border so close, right? They're right smack up against each other. So sometimes that alone lends itself for conflict.
Sure, because we talked about the cultural crossroad.
Exactly.
There's so many different cultures and even religions. You know,
exactly.
They're all there together. And it's hard. It's hard to get along even if you're from the same culture or religion. Nonetheless, if you have all of these different things going on at the same time.
Exactly. And we realize that one wants to be dominant.
Right. Yes. And that's the problem with most things in the world. People want power and there's a power struggle. And so we see here that there was a lot of conflict going on, and World War I started because of this man shooting and killing this royal couple. Well, we're moving on now to a new day, and that's exciting. We've talked about some difficulties and some challenges, and there'll be more, of course. We'll talk about that more on day two, but there is a new day in Sarajevo. A new day. I reached Sarajevo nearly 100 years after the assassination, and just 22 years after Bosnian Serb troops seized the high ground that surrounds the city and started shooting. They killed about 11,000 people in 44 months, the longest siege in Europe since World War II. But many endured. Much has been rebuilt, and visitors get a hearty welcome. Now a newcomer can head for a $50 lavish dinner at the Four Rooms of Mrs. Sevilla, or spend $100 for a simple bed at the Hotel Covasi. Or you can sit by the fountain in Bascarcia, the oldest neighborhood, and join the children feeding corn kernels to the pigeons. Old guys play chess in the park with foot-high pieces. Young guys break dance along the promenade. I felt safe at all hours. And as European capitals go, it's cheap. All right, so we're moving on to a new day. Are you excited, panelists? Yes.
I am. I want to go to the Sarajevo. How about you, Amanda?
It's making me more interested in it.
Yeah, when you look at the history and you look at where they've come from and all the things to do, you might want to go. Well, we see here the first word here is I. So the author of this article, the reporter, is talking here, and he said that he reached Sarajevo nearly 100 years after the assassination. And this is talking about the assassination of the royal archduke. And, of course, his wife was killed. What is an assassination, Lois?
Well, assassination, it's almost what we would call a hired gun, Brandon. So somebody is actually hired. They don't usually do it on their own behalf. They're hired. They're paid money to go find who the person who hired them, go find those people that's their enemy and kill them.
And it's usually for political reasons. We think of a president or someone who has been assassinated. We see this in movies sometimes.
Yeah.
Someone's hired to go and kill someone famous.
Political reasons or money reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The two things.
Okay, so he reached Sarajevo 100 years after this assassination. And then we move on to something else. If you're not careful here, you'll put everything together. But there's actually two different things going on here in the sentence. We see next, just 22 years after Bosnian Serb troops seized the high ground that surrounds the city. And so we're talking about something that happened 100 years ago and then something else that happened 22 years ago. And this was during the Bosnian War, right, Amanda?
Right. What happened, there used to be a nation called Yugoslavia before, and that was broken up into Bosnia and Serbia. But as a result of that, there was a war between those nations because each of them wanted the power.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so they seized the city. The Bosnian Serb troops seized the high ground in the city, and they started shooting. And people died, right?
Right. You know, this is very familiar to me, this history, because I'm old enough to remember it totally. I totally remember when Yugoslavia was together, and at that time, those countries that were part of Yugoslavia were Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, Montenegro, and Macedonia. And I remember that. And then Tito died, and then we have something like this happening, which they're mentioning. It was a very sad history, Brandon and Amanda, because what happened in the city at the higher ground is a whole bunch of snipers moved in, and it was terrible.
Okay, and it says here it was the longest siege in Europe since World War II. And when we see the word siege, what does that mean if they've taken over the city?
Right, they've taken over the city and they're trying to hold the power of the city, and usually they kill the other inhabitants of the city to make sure they maintain control of their city.
That's right, it's the idea of surrounding a place,
right,
and people have a hard time, or maybe it's virtually impossible to get out of that area because they're surrounded with soldiers who have guns and other weapons and so forth. So it says,
and we see how long it is too, right? 44
right.
months, very
right,
long.
Right, very, very long. And so we see that many endured, much has been rebuilt, and visitors get a hearty welcome. So we're moving away from that. They were in this war and everything, but now things are getting better, and now a newcomer can go there and have a lavish dinner, right?
Right. I think if we look at the last page, on page 25 at the top, it shows you the devastation that happened during that war and how the city was. And we've come a long way from there. 22 years later, now we have a hearty welcome. So we see that the people have overcome that time of war and are trying to just bring the city back into a great state.
You can have a lavish dinner, or you can spend $100 for a simple bed at this famous hotel, or you can sit by the fountain there in Bhaskar Siya, the oldest neighborhood, and you can watch the children feed corn kernels to pigeons, if you are into that kind of thing. But I think what you get here is it's much more calm than
it was
before.
I think peace, right? Peace and pigeons. I think it's that.
Actually, at the top there, we see this this wooden fountain. It's called Sibile, or the top there with the dome. That is actually where the fountain is of Biskilia. And that is also called the Pigeon Square, the other name for it. And so that's where people go and feed the pigeons and just enjoy their time there. So we have definitely come a long way from a war-torn place.
Right, and then you see old guys playing chess. That's a peaceful setting.
Exactly.
Right? Unless someone's losing, they might get upset, yeah. But otherwise it's peaceful.
And you know, at the top of page 23, it's also nice to know the population of the city if you're thinking of visiting. At 369,000, the reading I did, it is easy to see this city in a day, mm-hmm. and just really enjoy it. I would stay, of course, longer than a night or two, maybe three nights, but just to really get in on the culture too. But it's nice to know that you can do everything in the city on foot.
That's right. And you can also see young guys break dance along the promenade. And a promenade is just a wide area for walking near the sea, usually. And it feels safe, according to this reporter. And as European capitals go, it's cheap, which is good news. So if you're thinking of going to Europe, here's a cheap place to visit. And unfortunately, we are out of time today, but we have much, much more to discuss on tomorrow's program, so we hope you will join us again then. Thank you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.